actually enabled us to go do that incredible work, not just in Prince Albert, but within these young people's lives. So Serve, can you stand up and give this church a big thank you round of applause? Okay, sit down. Thanks. You might not all know me. My name is Tosh. I am one of the pastors here at Westview. And because you don't know me, I just want to give you like a quick, brief overview of who I am. I have lived in Calgary since I was 3 years old because my dad got a very specific job that might have been in this building. But I have been in Calgary ever since then. Try as I might to leave, the Lord says, nope, stay. So much so that I married a guy who was like, I want to stay in Calgary, and now we're going to be celebrating 15 years of marriage in October. Yes, thank you. That's for us, Jordan. I know you're trying to get the sound on. Thank you so much. We have two little kids. They're decently attractive. They're about 8 and 3 coming up. Elle would want you to know that she's at the end of 7. I have been working in a variety of youth ministries for just over 17 years now. And I cannot tell you how much I absolutely love entering the vulnerable spaces that young people are open to. It is such a beauty to be in that time and that space where the big questions are asked. And when we get to see young people experience God for the first time, I wouldn't do anything else. And believe me, I have asked the Lord, can I do something different? And he keeps saying no. Stay here. He keeps inviting me to love young people. And so here's the question that I have for you, Westview, for all of you here. What is God inviting you into today? Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, would you come now? Make yourself aware and known, so that we would know you better and hear very clearly what you, Lord, are inviting us into. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, youth, you're going to have to help me out here because this is going to be a new experience for them. I have some questions that I want you to ask. And you guys, I want to ask, and you guys are all welcome to answer. Does that sound okay? I'm putting you on the spot, and I know you're good at it. Invitations used to look very specific. And I am old enough to remember this, but I do remember the days that invitations, I had an example, came on a piece of paper. Either someone handed it to you or it came in snail mail. Do you guys know what that is? Yeah, you do? Okay, good. There's like a stamp on it, and it was so exciting because you realized it wasn't printed out on a like typewriter. It was someone's handwriting, and you knew, this is going to be an invitation. I get to go do something. But can you help me out? How do we get invitations now? How do they show up? What form do they come? Text? Well, how else? Shout it out, you guys. Email. Phone call invites? Does that ever happen? Not very often. Text, e-vites, emails, Facebook, there you go. My goodness, there are so many different avenues of invitations that we get. But here's the bigger question. Where it often used to be that invitations were just a couple in the mail, and you had time to prepare yourself to think, oh, I'm getting an invitation, this is exciting. Now they're coming from every single avenue, almost on a daily basis. And I wonder, when was the last time you were excited about receiving an invitation? Oh, that's silent. I mean it. Do you remember the last time you were excited for an invitation? Yeah? When, Elijah? Oh. Gotcha. All right. So invited to go surprise grandma. That's an exciting one. I'm willing to venture, as you guys start thinking about this, there's invitations that you receive that you are excited about. But maybe for some of us, you get an invitation that
make some like nerves and maybe even a little anxiety like rise up within you, and you say, ah, too much. Please don't ask me any more questions. Please don't invite me to anything else. I also wonder when was the last time you invited someone to do life with you? You see, invitations bring up an internal response for each of us. They usually feel familiar to us, and maybe the invitation is for a coffee or a meal that you immediately think, heck yes, let's plan this, I cannot wait to make this happen. Or maybe the invitation was to help someone, I don't know, move, and internally your stomach just sank as you did the thing you thought you were supposed to do and said yes. Does anyone say yes to helping someone move? Slightly resentfully. There's a couple over here who may or may not have helped Jordan and I move in the past. Thank you. Or is a question from mom, and your response is, do I have to? Good news, Serve parents, I didn't hear do I have to once on Serve. So give yourself a big pat on the back. Good job, team. That's huge. These young people, not once, do I have to? Sometimes these responses to invitation are motivated by our personalities and our characters, kind of like, you know, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, or maybe they're motivated by a healthy sense of boundaries, that you just know what's good for you, you know what you can and can't do. You know as a person, hopefully, what kind of invitations you can say yes to and which you can say no to. But sometimes an invitation is something bigger, and our internal response feels different. Different than it usually does. It feels different. I know what the problem is. I wonder. Ooh, that's better. Whoopsie. It feels different than what our normal response is to when we receive the paper invitation or a call or a text or Facebook or whatever it might be. Because internally, we tend to know as people whether we can say yes or no. But sometimes we receive invitations that bring within us a response that isn't familiar, that feels different, that feels out of the ordinary. And it might feel like that fuzzy, warm feeling, that fuzzy, good, oh, something is happening moment that Katie mentioned for us. Or maybe it feels like a pit in the bottom of your stomach, or maybe a burning sensation in your chest, but a feeling, or maybe even a thought that something different is happening, that this invitation is drawing us to an awareness that there is something we need to pay attention to. You know, the invitations to Serve start in September. So I am already prepping and planning how we are going to invite next year's team to join us in the space that will be announced later, the city that will be announced later. And the leaders join in on this. We share the stories. We ask youth, hey, are you considering coming on Serve? Would you like to come with us? What are you thinking about that? And then after Christmas, the invites really ramp up. And that's because we have deadlines to meet, fundraising to do. And I have a very distinct memory of asking Katie several times, would you like to come on Serve? I think you should come. And the answer was always, nope. That's not for me. And Katie knows herself pretty well. And I tend not to be a chaser as a person. If I invite you to something and the initial response is no, I am going to trust that you know yourself, you know how to set your boundaries, you know what you want to say yes to, and you know what you want to say no to. And for some reason, I kept asking Katie. That's out of my normal to continue to pursue for a yes. But I kept doing it, and I kept asking. And I honestly thought it was because I had an internal selfish desire that just wanted her to come because I like spending time with Katie. But then on June 23rd, 1 week, 7 days before we had to leave, actually a little less than, because it wasn't until about 11 o'clock in the morning and we needed to leave at 6 a.m. in the morning, I count those things, that she came up to me out in that foyer, tears in her eyes, "Tosh, I want to go to serve." I might have laughed in her face. It wasn't my greatest moment. But then I got to join her in this realization that the asks that I kept giving was actually Holy Spirit giving me an invitation to invite her. You see, Westview, Katie paid attention. She paid attention to the uniqueness of what was stirring within her and recognized that Holy Spirit was offering an invitation to her. It felt different than her natural response, her natural human indications to say, "No, not for me." It felt fuzzy, and it also felt a little scary. And those are good indicators that Holy Spirit is inviting us into something. So, Westview, can I ask you right now, can you take a moment? Let's take just a moment and pay attention. You can close your eyes, you can look down, you can look up, but just try to ignore everything that's going on. And pay attention to the way that you typically respond to an invitation. So if I was to ask you right now, "Hey, do you want to go for coffee?" What is your normal response to that? Would some of you I know would like to say yes. Some are like, "Ah, that's terrifying. What does Tosh want to talk to me about?" But that tells us something about ourselves, right? You know if you want to say yes or no. And then I'm pretty confident that there's many of us in this room that can think of a time that Holy Spirit invited us into God's kingdom. That God gave a clear nudge, a clear awareness, something out of the ordinary, a different experience that said, "Hey, pay attention. I, your God, am inviting you to something." I hope that you as individuals can separate those two experiences. And I hope now that you will join me in Matthew 20. We're going to take a look at a parable that Jesus tells us, a parable that came up over and over again as I connected with some of the youth team, as I connected with leaders and staff and parents on the serve team about this unique invitation that was coming our way. And as I spoke to one parent, their immediate response was, "Oh, well, isn't this just the parable of the workers?" So Westview, again, this question, as we read these words, what is God inviting you into right now? The kingdom of heaven is like a wealthy landowner. He went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to give them the usual pay for a day's work. Then he sent them into his vineyard. About 9 o'clock in the morning, he went out again. He saw others standing in the market doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard. I'll pay you what is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and at 3 o'clock and did the same thing. About 5 o'clock, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard spoke to the person who was in charge of the workers. He said, "Call the workers and give them their pay. Begin with the last ones I hired. Then go on to the first ones." The workers who were hired about 5 o'clock came. Each received their usual day's pay. So when those who were hired first came, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received the usual day's pay. When they received it, they began to complain about the owner. "Those people who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said. You have paid them the same as us. We have done most of the work and have been in the hot sun all day. The owner answered one of them. Friend, he said, I'm being fair to you. Did you not agree to work for the usual day's pay? Take your money and go. I want to give the one I hired last the same pay I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Do you feel cheated because I gave so freely to the others? So those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. A made-up story that points us to a real truth. And I don't think that this story is so much about how we are supposed to have good attitudes and work hard, no matter how hard and unfair it may seem to us. I don't think that's what Jesus is telling us. That might be part of it, but I think that there is a deeper truth about who God is that I know I missed in this parable. I think it is actually informing us of something ridiculously important about who God is. It's a story of someone who has much and is willing to share generously and graciously to whoever says yes to the invitation. I think that tells us that God longs to invite us over and over and over again into his kingdom, into relationship with him, into loving other people. And God just wants us to say yes. He wants us to receive the same as others have received. His kingdom, his grace, his love, his mercy, his generosity over and over again. Jesus is directly teaching us that it's not about the first application that comes in, which was Derek, by the way. Good job, man. You were like keen and eager. I was really proud of you. Did I tell you that yet? Maybe? Okay. Well, just the same. You were first. Good job. But God's invitation isn't dependent on you saying yes first. It's not dependent on you being able or willing to work the hardest. It's not dependent on you bringing in the harvest the most quickly or the most abundantly. This invitation that God has for us to be a part of his kingdom, to be in relationship with him, is about his all-encompassing, generous love. God is inviting us to be with him, to receive and to say yes to the invitation. After Katie approached me about coming to serve, anxiety rose in my mind and probably my whole body, and my heart simultaneously leaped for joy. And here's the thing about my usual response to an invitation. It's usually joy or anxiety. I'm usually excited or, oh my gosh, why are they asking me to do something? It is not often both. And that should have been my first clue. Something out of the ordinary was happening. So Westview again, what is God inviting you into? Is there something stirring right now within you that's indicating that something different is happening? Can you pay attention to your own human responses? Are you feeling joy or anxiety? Is that normal or is that different? If it's different, right now is the time to ask, Holy Spirit, what are you inviting me into? It's so easy for us to fall into our natural human responses to invitations, and that's exactly what I did. As Katie asked me, I immediately went to, there's so many logistics to do, so much that has to happen. Are the parents going to be okay with this? Are the kids going to be okay with this? What's this going to do? Because my human response to invitation and change of plans is control. And I'm willing to bet that some of you in here lean into that too. Is that fair to say? Yeah, my controller's with me. Thank you so much. Westview. I've lost my place. That's okay. I want to get us out of here by 11. How does that sound? I can do it. That was my indicator that God was speaking. Something felt different. I asked Katie to go home, rest, pray, talk with her family. And I asked these things without even thinking about it. Because what happens often when Holy Spirit shows up is that it can feel almost like a bubble surrounding you. That you try to pay attention to other things that are going on. You try to think for yourself. And in reality, Holy Spirit is actually just directing you to do and say what God wants said and done. And for me, that looks like slowing down. And in that moment, as I asked Katie to go do these things, I realized that I was slowing down. I had stopped thinking about, this is the invitation, this is what I need to do next, and then I need to talk to them, and I need to make this happen. And I just stopped, and I prayed. Okay, God, what are you doing? What are you inviting us into? God's character showed up with this team, Westview. These young people here upstairs, some who couldn't make it today, and gave us a very real glimpse of God's kingdom. Because not once did one of these young people say, why does she get to come? She didn't go to the meetings. She didn't help with the fundraising. She didn't meet your deadlines you asked us to do, Tosh. There was not one single glimpse of complaint. When Katie got the same as you guys did. Not one. And so these young people set an example for us outside of this parable. They were not the workers saying, why does she get the same as us when we have worked harder? They did what Jesus does and said, yay, come with us. I'm so glad Katie is coming. This is going to be great. They received the invitation and then they extended it beyond themselves. We got to see the goodness of God at work in them and the goodness of God extending beyond them. These young people, I know I'm making you uncomfortable right now, but that's okay. Discomfort is an okay thing. Exemplified God's kingdom. And you heard glimpses of it from them. And the stories are unending. And it would take us from 5 a.m. till midnight for 6 days in a row to tell you all the stories of God's goodness and kingdom life happening on serve. And yes, that is how long the days were for the leaders. Coffee was necessary. There were so many good things, Westview. One of the best things that I witnessed happening on serve was that I actually wasn't needed. I watched as Chris and Slater and Elise knocked it out of the park as leaders. They showed up. They directed. They loved. They cared. They saw the missing pieces, and they just took care of everything. I know I was needed. I knew God had me there. But I certainly was feeling that like, well, this is different. What is this thing that I'm feeling, Lord? Why am I here? What are you inviting me into as I watch these leaders step into new spaces as your followers? And then Thursday hit, and the emotions began. And the responses to God's invitation exploded. And again, Westview, it would take me a whole Thursday to tell you all the good things that we saw God beginning to do work in. The invitations that had already been said yes to exploded into new invitations, into deeper understanding and experiences of God, into a bigger, more encompassing expression of God's love for those around our team. But I was reminded, as we sat in the service after emotion after emotion after emotion, and I was sitting there listening to the speaker, and I was like kind of listening, but I was distracted by the logistics. How's that person doing? How are they doing? What are they thinking? Do they need anything? Do they need water? It's really hot in here. How are they doing? And I was so distracted until all of a sudden I hear nothing but the speaker's voice pointing to 1 Samuel and saying, if you're going to be like Samuel and you're going to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. If I'm going to say, God, what are you inviting me into? Then I better be willing to submit and say yes to whatever it is God is inviting us into. And I tried in that moment. Okay, well, what's he saying to follow up with that? What did he say before that? What's happening? I can't pay attention to what else is going on, and here I am sitting on the sidelines quite literally. I can't see anything else. I can't really hear anything else. And Holy Spirit came and said, Tosh, are you willing to say yes to me? And I went, okay. It's not always an easy yes. It's a scary yes. And then the Lord said, forgive. And some of you know the challenges I've been going through with a family member the last couple of years. Family, blended family, as some of you know, my family is here and there, and blended families. Yay. And that's really hard. And as one of my pastor friends is also preaching today, that family hurt is deep, deep hurt. And I have been praying for 2 years, God, I want to forgive, but this hurts too bad. And Holy Spirit came and said, now's the time. Are you going to say yes? Are you going to trust me to protect you, to heal you? And so I said yes. And then audibly, Holy Spirit said, well, Tosh, text them right now and forgive them. And so I did. I pulled out my phone and I turned my back to everyone as the sermon had ended and the worship had started again. And I just sent that, I forgive you. This is scary. Let's keep trying. And I turned around and I saw at first another pastor and another, the Peter, the guy who kind of like leads all of Serve, and the worship leader up on stage all staring at me. And I thought, like, I'm okay, guys. I'm just crying. It's not a big deal. And then I see them kind of like scan across the room. And I start to look as the bubble kind of bursts and I become aware our leaders are down for the count. The youth are in tears. Everyone, our entire team was experiencing Holy Spirit because Holy Spirit showed up for invitation with almost every single one of our team members. And I watched as these young people throughout our week said yes. 13 of them said yes months ago to come on Serve. And one said yes 7 days ahead of time because they paid attention to Holy Spirit's invitation in the preparation, in the planning, in the journey, and in the very moment that Holy Spirit showed up at First Baptist Church in Prince Albert and invited these youth into deeper knowledge of his generosity and his love for them. Yeah. Good job, you guys. I could go on and on. I will hold back, and I don't know what the invitation is going to be today, tomorrow, for you guys, for this whole church. But I do know that the moments when I have to choose faith are grounded in these moments that I have experienced God show up. I count them. I mark them down. I remember them. And this is what I'm sharing with you because Westview, my hope, and I trust that God's hope right now is that what our team experienced in Prince Albert is something that you can taste just a little bit right now and think maybe this is real. Maybe this God thing, this faith thing, this living Holy Spirit God that shows up every single day with an invitation to us is not just crazy. Maybe, just maybe, there's someone in here thinking, oh, I like that. That makes sense to me. I have experienced that. And no one gave me the words to recognize or label that that was God showing up in my life. And so maybe the invitation that you might be receiving right now is invitation to serve in an event, or maybe to forgive someone, or maybe to rest more, or fill in the blank. But last week, Gary reminded us that the Lord's will is, and his desire is to draw near to us. And he called it, silence is the app. I loved it. And that's how God communicates with us. And so as the worship team begins to make their way on stage to lead us in a time of celebrating all that has happened with our young people, I want to encourage you that this first step to hearing Holy Spirit daily is seeking after silence. And that requires you to say yes to silence. And maybe it's going into a room without your phone. Maybe it's leaving the book behind as you go sit in the shade on this beautiful day. Maybe it's just right now, as I ask you, Westview, to close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. It might be an uncomfortable thing to do, and if it is, just look down. And practice right now, Westview. God, what are you inviting me into? Westview, as you go into the rest of this day and this week, pay attention to your typical human responses to an invitation. Become aware of how you respond. And then I'm going to trust for you that if you ask God to speak, if you ask God what you are being invited into, that God will speak. And I also know and trust that if you don't seek silence, that God just might show up with a holy dome of silence and force you to pay attention. That God will show up and ask you if you are willing to say yes. So, are you? Are you willing to seek silence? To ask God what he would invite you into? And are you willing to say yes? Because Westview, here's the good news. As we prepare to celebrate, I observed in this community called Westview a group of our people exemplify saying yes to God. Not once, did they complain. And when given the opportunity, they immediately extended the generosity of invitation that they had been given. And that's because Westview, you can look at the young people around you right now. These are not the people of the church's future. These are the church right now. Westview represented across this country what it means to give as generously as they had been given. What it means to say yes. They absolutely taught us what it looks like when the last become first. So Westview, are you going to ask, God, what are you inviting me into today? Lord, what are you inviting us into today? Jesus, in your mighty name we pray.